If you desire to smash the dog of Kali Yuga, then sing. And what to sing? There's a list of names of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's called Kali Yuga Pavana, the purifier of Kali Yuga. Kali Bhoya Nashana, who destroyed the destroyer of the fear of Kali. Sri Satchinandana, the respectable son of, or darling son of Mother Sachi, giver of pleasure. He who chastised, I guess that would be. Gadadha Pandit, who is the wealth of the life of Nitai, who is known as Gaura, which is another name for Gaura, it's a slightly different rendition. The Gaura who is most worshipped or highly worshipped by Advaita, he is known as Nimai. Vishvamba, who maintains the world. Srinivasa Isha, the master of Srinivasa. Srinivasa means Srivasta. Bhakta Shamoha Chitta Chora, he who steals the heart of all the devotees. He is the moon of Nadia, the master of Mayapur, and the god or hero who establishes the holy name. Preaches the holy name. He is the instructor of the householders and the leader of the whole class of renunciants. He is Madhav, the husband of goddess of the goddess of fortune, and he is filled with the emotional feelings of Srimati Radharani. He is the corrector of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the uplifter of Prataparudra Maharaj, the one who nourishes Ramananda Rai, and a great hero. He increases the pleasure of Rupa Goswami. He maintains Sanatan Goswami. He is the delight of Haridas Thakur and very sober. Sober means, in this sense, grave, peaceful, yeah, and steady. He's always experiencing the mellows of Vrindavan. He annihilates the corrupted opinions, misconceptions. Oh, and Kapati, I was saying Kapati, it's Kapati. He is the, again, the destroyer or killer of duplicity, hypocrisy. And he is the transcendental Cupid. He is the maintainer of the pure devotees. He delivers from dry, speculative knowledge. Yeah, he delivers whoever is to be delivered. He is the deliverer. Oh, actually, here, no, tar is tarana, not tarana. It means the chastiser of dry speculative knowledge. He is the... I guess it's another word which means destroys or false devotion. And he is Rama, which means Ramante Yogino Nante. Satyananda, he is pure bliss. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Om Jnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalaka Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatah Parikamalam Shri Guru Navaishavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Sadadhutam Vrijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam. Please move in as more devotees will be coming. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Well, this is supposed to be a questions and answers session, but I've already received some questions, and instead of trying to answer many questions, at least at first, I'm going to try to deal with a few in some more detail. Those that seem to be of topical importance to many devotees. Topical points. Well, one thing, please return these song sheets now. Pass them. In fact, the morning class was also in response to some questions. And then after the class, some other points came up, some devotees were discussing. So I'd like to make some more points on this point of alternative preaching. One point is that, well, many devotees are householders and they have to do something to maintain their families. So if they teach yoga or do some Ayurvedic treatment or whatever, there's no objection to that. It might be even a recommended way for devotees to make a living if they're able to do that. Better than, you know, driving a bus or something like that. Although, if you know, there's nothing wrong with driving a bus. If you have to do something, you have to do something to maintain your family. This afternoon's fashion. Although again, Prabhupada's coming to the point of occupation, Prabhupada said that agriculture is the most noble profession. Now, one point of concern about what is called alternative preaching is that we should always remember that it is an alternative. If it becomes the preaching, if there's no focus on book distribution, Harinam, and holding festivals, and what preaching is, then it's not an alternative, then it becomes the preaching. All these things, they will be successful if they bring people to the point of going on Harinam, distributing Prabhupada's books, holding Rath Yatra festivals, and so on. And actually, if no one in ISKCON ever preached through yoga or Ayurveda or any such thing, it wouldn't really matter that much, or psychology or whatever. It's the real Hare Krishna. I mean, the basis of the Hare Krishna movement is chanting, dancing, distributing Prabhupada's books, distributing prasadam. But sometimes you find that devotees, they become so attached to these indirect methods, they're actually against the direct methods. They think that it's essential that we hide that we're devotees. And they actually become upset if devotees, even in preaching, they say anything about Krishna, speak straightforward Bhagavad Gita philosophy, and they tell, don't ever tell anyone to follow any regulated principles, just everything should be very soft and very mild, then practically you became a non-devotee. If you tell people don't speak about Krishna and don't speak Bhagavad Gita and don't speak about regulated principles, then what's the point of your so-called preaching? So that's why I was saying that these alternative methods, they can be done if it's done under the direction of a very expert preacher. Expert means he's expert in changing them from the nonsense, which, you know, ultimately yoga, Ayurveda, all these things, if there's no relationship to Krishna, it's of itself, it's just nonsense, that's all. So if you can bring people to the point of understanding that this is nonsense and the only goal of life is Krishna, then that is an expert preacher. But if you become more absorbed in yoga, Ayurveda, Vastu, psychology, gems, and all this kind of thing, than in Bhagavad Gita, then you're in Maya, that's all. And at least those who are doing this, the basic work of this movement, we don't have that many book distributors and devotees going out on Harinam, they shouldn't be discouraged from doing that. They should let the straightforward preaching go on, and then if anyone else, if they don't have the strength to do that, or somehow they're inclined to do something else, at least they shouldn't try to hijack others. Just pull it just slightly, because I'm going to take some. You can get some water. I'll wash my hand.
Sure.
Okay. Then get some water for washing my hand. What other points were there? Oh yeah, some other question had come up. This is a common one. Another point altogether now. Another common point. When we're at the festival, we feel so much inspiration. Then we go home, and we're very enthusiastic for some time, and the enthusiasm goes down. Yeah. There's only myself and my family, and you know, and we don't have it so much association, and we tend to lose enthusiasm. Which devotees are in a situation where they're living at home with their family, or maybe alone, and they're a long way from any temple or regular association? Please raise your hand. Quite a few. So what are your suggestions? Let's hear a few, so you can pass around the mic and hear a few suggestions how to keep enthusiastic.
Dogs enthusiastic.
Want to say something? Give him the mic. Oh, I thought he wanted to say something. Doesn't anyone have any any suggestions? Well, you can learn from the dog. If the dog's enthusiastic about barking, why can't we be enthusiastic about chanting Hare Krishna? Anyone has any suggestions? Anyone?
Предложение есть у кого-нибудь на этот счет?
Give the mic. Well, that's the point that we're talking about. You see, you don't have much association if you're in that situation. You can associate with them by thinking about them. That's one way of associating. Telephone association. Well, that's why we have a sadhana program. It's something that we're supposed to follow. Whether we want to or not, we make it like a duty in our life to follow that. Shri Gurvashtakam Etaduchai Brahme Mahurte Patati Prayatna Tameva Vrindavana Nata Sarakshat Sevaiva Labhya Janashonta Eva. This means that anyone or whoever recites Gurvashtakam, which means the Samsara Dava Anala Lida Loka. So, whoever recites this regularly, loudly, carefully during Brahma Muhurta, at the end of life attains direct service to Vrindavana Natha, Krishna in Vrindavan. If we can remember that, then we'll always be enthusiastic to rise early and chant Gurvashtaka. One thing is, we can make a festival at home every day. It takes more effort, but if we sing nicely and dance, even there's no one there, you can dance, even one person can dance. And gradually we'll find that enthusiasm will be there. And if we do this daily, then if for some reason or other, due to, you know, maybe sickness or whatever, we miss rising early, chanting Gurvashtaka, then we feel terrible, like, you know, like you didn't brush your teeth or something in the morning. Isn't it? It's nice to rise early in the morning. It's a wonderful way to start the day, isn't it? Who feels like that, at least to some extent, that it's very nice to rise early, chant? Yeah, I feel like that. So it's a challenge if we don't have so much association. It's a challenge to push ourselves. But there's extra mercy to be had by doing so. If you don't have much association, then you can go and distribute Prabhupada's books in your neighborhood, and quite possibly Krishna will arrange people for you to preach to, and they can become devotees also. These are some suggestions. I suggest that Rohini Kumar Prabhu could discuss this in his seminar on Nam Hata, because it is a situation which many devotees are facing. You like to do that? All right, so please attend this seminar on Nam Hata, and then maybe you could have some interaction, you could discuss with yourselves what are the problems you are facing, and you can have more suggestions how to overcome them. Where's your letter? Did you? Oh, I must have left it in the room. Or did I bring it? Okay, go get it. One question: what is happiness, and can we attain absolute happiness? Well, happiness is one of those abstract nouns that everyone understands what it means. But it's difficult to define very clearly. But we can say that real happiness is absolute happiness. For the jiva, that happiness means the experience or the experience of well-being that arises out of full surrender to Krishna. And happiness in this material existence is the perverted reflection of that, in which one perceives happiness or misconceives happiness as that which arises from my own sense gratification. So can we achieve absolute happiness? Of course. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. There is no other way to actually be happy. That is absolute happiness. Okay, now here's... I'll try and summarize this. It's quite a long letter here. Is that quite often we see people become enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness, and they come up and they come up to the level of initiation and they get initiated. Then sometime after getting initiated, their enthusiasm goes down and they stop chanting 16 rounds, or they find that it's very difficult to do so due to their family, domestic situation. Sometimes they come to a festival and get inspired, and then they go away and they become, again, they lose their enthusiasm. What to do about this whole syndrome? Well, Srila Prabhupada recognized that not everyone is going to come up to the level of 16 rounds. Oh, one devotee, another devotee was suggesting that we make the initiation standard less, maybe 4 rounds or something like that. Well, you can get 4 round initiation. You can even get no round initiation. And you know, there are some Gauriya gurus who come to Russia and different parts of the world, and you know, they'll to be seen by them is to be initiated by them. They don't check very much to see, but they just, you want to get initiated? Okay. I mean, obviously the initiation without any commitment or very low commitment is not of the same value as that with high commitment. We can't change the initiation standards which have been given to us by Prabhupada. That's out of the question. You know, some so-called devotees nowadays say that to follow 4 regulated principles is fanaticism. But we have to remain committed to the ideal. You know, we can say make it easy, but you know, it's easy to stay in the material world. It's also easy to cheat people and just say, well, you take initiation from me and you don't have to follow anything, and just by my mercy, you'll become full of Krishna prema. But the actual fact is that without surrender, without commitment, then how we, you know, where is the question of spiritual advancement? So we can't change the initiation standard, but we should, you know, if we want to be initiated, that means we should be very serious. It means commitment to follow throughout life and life after life, forever. That's why in ISKCON we don't give initiation very quickly or very easily. But one point is that after having made that commitment, one has to stick to it. You may say, well, there's this problem and that problem, but it's a serious commitment. There may come a point when, due to sickness, you can't chant 16 rounds. The last time I saw our godbrother, Sridhar Swami Maharaj, the last time I saw him before he passed away, he'd been sick for many months. He told me, I haven't chanted 16 rounds for many months. Of course, that was... he was always surrounded by devotees and hearing about Krishna. And after a life of dedication to following the process of Krishna consciousness and serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. But you know, if we take initiation, it is a very serious commitment. And that's why, once having taken that commitment, one should stick to it. Yeah, I was saying Srila Prabhupada recognized that not everyone is fit to be initiated. Therefore, he spoke of Varnashram. That if people, they can't chant 16, you know, if they can means, you know, they're so spiritually dull that they can't chant 16 rounds, then at least they can work for Krishna and join in the kirtan and take prasadam. And another point of these farm communities is that people can... all the produce is to be offered to Krishna. So people who, they're inclined somewhat to be devotees, but they're not very strong spiritually, they can work for Krishna, and the result of their work will be offered to Krishna. Then they don't have to be initiated. They have to become further advanced to become initiated. But at the same time, you can't say that the standard of someone who is practicing very seriously and the standard of someone else who is not practicing seriously is all the same. And we should beware of that association of devotees, even their supposedly senior devotees, who try to discourage us from practicing seriously. Sorry to say, but there are so-called senior devotees who they'll tell you, no, don't practice very seriously. They'll say, be practical, don't be fanatical. Yeah, they have a very practical program for pretending to be a devotee and remaining within the material world. So if anyone discourages you from practicing seriously, you should know that he's your enemy, even if he's posing as your well-wisher. Now, of course, people are at different levels. So if someone's coming newly, we may encourage them, all right, you start to chant one or two rounds. We might not, in every case, push them to immediately do everything. And it's true, we shouldn't be fanatical in the sense that if we become very proud, I'm following, others aren't following, and if we become arrogant and harsh towards others, that's also not good. And another thing is that, you know, we should also be, if we ourselves are able to practice in a more strict way, there also has to be accommodation for other devotees who are not practicing in a very strict way. The best thing is that everyone follows seriously, then these questions won't arise. But it is difficult when you don't have much association and you have so many domestic responsibilities. And I congratulate those devotees who, under difficult circumstances, are carrying on with their spiritual lives in Krishna consciousness. I request, maintain the ideal. Even if our practices or our may slip somewhat, keep the ideal in mind always. Our ideal is to become fully absorbed in love of Krishna. So we should know very clearly that anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya vajanam. We should perform activities which are conducive to developing love of Krishna, and we should avoid that which is not. And another thing is that we should know that the practice of Krishna consciousness given to us by Srila Prabhupada follows all the acharyas and all the shastras and is perfect. So we don't have to, or we shouldn't think of adjusting that in any way. Read Prabhupada's books regularly. That will help everyone very much. Another thing with this alternative preaching, I think I already said that, is that you know, to be a teacher of anything, you have to study it a lot and keep up on all the latest news and developments. So the tendency is that if whatever we become, whatever we concentrate on, our mindset becomes like that. So we might start thinking, in, you know, it's more important for me to do this yoga early in the morning than to chant my rounds early in the morning. All right, so questions are there? Someone was asking about Purushottam month. Purushottam month? Yes. Purushottam means Krishna. Yeah, well, I can just say in brief. Purushottam means Krishna. This is Krishna's month. This is an extra month, which it's a lunar. The Vedic calendar is solar cum lunar. So this is an intercalary month, which is inserted every 3 years to keep the lunar calendar in sync with the solar calendar. So this is called Mala Mas, or contaminated month, because in this month no one should do auspicious activities like performing marriages, starting businesses, etc. So according to the, in the Puranas there's a story that the personality of the of this extra month, Adhik Mas, went to Krishna and tearfully complained that I'm so condemned. I'm so inauspicious. So then Krishna said, okay, I'll make you my month. I'll give you my name. And just like Kartik comes every year, that is Radharani's month. So every 3 years there comes Purushottam Mas, Krishna's month. And extra benefit accrues to devotees who make efforts to please Krishna in this month. So generally devotees, they accept some extra austerities, do extra chanting and services. So if you like, you can do, and that will be very nice. Well, if a devotee is fully dedicated to Krishna's service, then everything he does becomes devotional service. But if you're living close to a temple, that would be more appreciable devotional service if you could offer at least some of the vegetables for cooking for the Lord in the temple. If you think, well, I'm worshipping Krishna at home, so I'll make my home very gorgeous for Krishna, and I'll cook all the best foods for Krishna, and then I'll also enjoy the prasadam. But if the motive is actually in the name of devotional service to enjoy one's own senses, then that's cheating. So if you're worshipping Krishna at home, that's all right, but still one should offer to the temple, which is meant for public worship. Well, there is a rule that one's not supposed to offer obeisances in a contaminated state. Practically everyone's in a contaminated state all the time. According to Vedic standard, if you have an attached bathroom, then everything's contaminated all the time. Anyway, you can chant mentally if you like. Prayers. For a higher purpose, you can cheat. If your parents don't want you to chant Hare Krishna, then they're cheating you. Worldly morality and Krishna consciousness don't always coalesce. Sanatan Goswami bribed the jail keeper so he could get out of prison. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu apparently cheated his wife by leaving her to take sannyas. Don't any of you do that. You're not eligible for that. But the example is there, the precedent is there. If necessary for a higher cause, then you should do that. Well, Srila Prabhupada always stressed that devotees should rise early in the morning, isn't it? So better that we follow that. I would say that better than having late night kirtans is everyone come together for early morning kirtan. I'm not very fond of these festivals where no one's in, hardly, you know, 10 people are in Mangalarti because they all took rest late. Better you take rest early and get up in time for Mangalarti. No, Krishna is not envious of anyone. But envy is the perversion of love. In the pure state, The jiva loves Krishna and loves every other living being. In the impure state, the jiva envies Krishna and envies every other living being also. Even the so-called love for others is actually a manifestation of envy if it's not centered on love of Krishna. When a young man says to a young woman, "I love you," he's expressing his envy toward her. Because what he actually means to, if you state what actually is in his heart, it means, "I want to exploit you." And she also wants to exploit him in the name of loving. So it is a perverted reflection of love of Krishna. Now, what could be considered envy in Krishna, although it's not, and it might seem like that, is that Krishna kills so many demons. He becomes angry at them. He wants to kill them, and he does kill them. But the end result of that is that they are benefited. And Krishna's anger at the demons is because the demons are envious of his devotees. So Krishna's apparent envy is actually based on his love for his devotees. And he loves the demons also because they get liberated by being killed by him and freed from all their sinful reactions. Whereas the envy in the material world is simply inauspicious for everyone. For he who envies and he who is envied. Real bhakti is that which is performed for Krishna's pleasure. Chala bhakti or bhakti abhaya or bhakti abhash or bhakti prai, these are means that it's mixed with material desires. A show of bhakti, it means one makes, he shows as if he's doing it for Krishna's pleasure but actually has some hidden motive. That's chala bhakti or cheating in the name of bhakti. Bhaktiabhas means when one's motive is not bhakti, it's sense gratification, but somehow or other he does something conducive for bhakti. Just like we find in the Puranas that it's related, Prahlad Maharaj in a previous life due to some circumstance, he had just happened to spend all night fasting, awake, in a Nrsimha temple, even though he had no idea, it was just due to some quarrel with his girlfriend. And it was on Nrsimha Chaturdashi, so he got the benefit of bhakti to Nrsimha Devi. So that was just, you could say, good luck. But if one fasts on Nrsimha Chaturdashi and makes a big festival, that may appear like to be directly bhakti. But if one is doing it to impress others that one is a great devotee, it could be even that you see, like in India, some devotees, they do bhakti very nicely for a few years, and then they find a temple president from America to sponsor them to do service in a temple in America. Then they go to America and do some service in the temple for some time, and as soon as they're eligible for a green card, they leave the temple and they go out and they get a job and they're happy. They start earning money. So they're doing service very nicely. And you can't say that it's wholly non-devotional, but their main motive is material advancement. Well, this was started approximately 1973 by Tamal Krishna Goswami in Bombay. Prabhupada would come back every day from his morning walk and have the deity greeting, he'd greet the deities and then give class. Mm. Then one day Tamal Krishna Maharaj arranged for Guru for doing the arati for Prabhupada. Then they did it every day and it became a standard all over the world in front of the deities. Mm-hmm. When one devotee asked Prabhupada about this, that it states in Shastra one shouldn't worship anyone in front of the deity, but we worship you, Prabhupada replied, "Dilemma." Whatever the sense, that was his reply. Dilemma, yeah. Whatever way you want to pronounce. So it's something that Srila Prabhupada instituted, which as a great devotee he may do something unusual like that. It's unusual, you might say, but we all are very happy to worship Srila Prabhupada every day like this. Actually, Prabhupada would take darshan, and then the darshan would, he would just take darshan, then he'd take charanamrita, then he'd go sit, and then they'd start the guru puja. It wasn't that they had it. The deity greeting was actually very short. Well, Shastra is meant for intelligent people. It's not that every single instant has to be covered. Basic common sense and culture is also required. That you'll get a full list in the Nectar of Devotion, 64 items. Do's and do nots, vidhi nisheda. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma Samhita, who can think of Brahma Samhita? What does it say? Ramadi Muratishu Kalani Amena Tishtanna Anavatara Maharod Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Kintu means but. Means there are many different forms of the Lord who appear in the world. But Krishna Swayam, Krishna is the original. Then also Govindam Adi Purusham. Adi Purusham means the original form of the Supreme Lord. Then Dipachireva Hidashantaram Abhyupetya. Also, that's another verse from Brahma Samhita which states that. Then Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha. I am the source of everything. Matak Parataram Nanyat. There is nothing greater than me, Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna shows the universal form, then the four-armed form, then Arjuna asks him to revert to his original form. Two hands. In Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, I believe it's chapter 2, either chapter 1 or chapter 2. This point is discussed in detail. It should be in standard language. Yeah. Okay, ask. I'll give an answer. Poftarit Hare Krishna. That's the answer. You may think, well, no, I have to, study, I have to do some cosmic emancipation, hang upside down for 25 years, meditating on my anus or something like that. The answer is Chandra Krishna. That's the real answer. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
You are all self-realized. We should understand, I am Krishna's. When the sense of surrender to Krishna becomes so strong that one can think of nothing but Krishna, then one captures Krishna by love and one thinks Krishna is mine. All the devotees in Vrindavan are, their service is to see Radha and Krishna happy together. But everyone also has their own personal relationship with Krishna. So during that Ras Leela, the sense of being that I am with Krishna, that becomes prominent. Krishna is mine and there is only me and Krishna. So that is a special flavor that of course all the gopis together, they don't satisfy Krishna without Radharani. So Krishna's the real Vraja Bhava. We were just reading Vraja Rasa Bhavana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is he who always relishes the mellows of Vrindavan. That is centered on Radha and Krishna. On Radha. It's high topics, no doubt. Not to be understood by intelligence or logic alone. We should try to at least have some conception of the totally pure nature of that love, that we are to serve that love. We are to serve the devotees who are so exalted in love of Krishna. Well, it doesn't have to be opposing. Hopefully it can be complementary, the nature.
Yeah.
basic practices of Krishna consciousness are the same for everyone. Hearing and Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Ityadi, etc. There are different duties according to different people's psychophysical makeups and abilities. Traditionally, men are pujaris in temples and women they can worship at home, but men are the pujaris in the temples. Because that means they have to spend a lot of time with the deity, and the women have to spend a lot of time with children who are, you know, their children are always dirty and they need a lot of attention. So there's a division of duties. That's a brief answer. It could be a very big topic. I'll stop now and we'll have prasadam distribution.